We continue today in our journey through Shmona Esrei, and we find ourselves today in a fascinating bracha, a bracha I think very different than virtually all of the other brachos in Shmona Esrei. In the rest of the brachos in Shmona Esrei, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a particular request. We ask God for knowledge, we ask God for parnasa, we ask God for healing, for health, we ask God for Mashiach. In the bracha of Olam HaShinim, we ask God for something a little bit different. V'Olam HaShinim al sihi sikva. For the slanderers, let there be no hope. May all the wickedness perish in an instant. And the Gemara Maseches Brachos gives us the context of this bracha. The Gemara Maseches Brachos, Daf Chaf Chesam, base 28p, explains Rabbi Gamliel instituted this bracha during the end of the Second Temple era, where there was a rise in heretical behavior. Heretics, not Gentile heretics, Jewish heretics, who were turning against their own people, slandering the Jewish people to the authorities, informing on the Jewish people to the authorities. And Rabbi Gamliel understood that these individuals posed not just an existential threat, but a literal physical threat to the Jewish people, that he appointed Shmuel HaKatan. He said to Shmuel HaKatan to compose a bracha, for the slanderers. V'lamashinim al sihi sikva. For the slanderers, there should be no hope. We're talking about fellow Jews. And Rabbi Gamliel felt that these individuals posed such an incredible risk that we need a bracha in Shmona Esrei, essentially telling Hashem, let there be no hope for them. Don't let them return. Let them perish in an instant. Let them be swiftly cut down. Such strong words for our fellow Jews. Rabbi Gamliel felt that these heretics, these slanderers, posed such a threat that we needed such a bracha instituted in Shmona Esrei. But it's interesting to note that Rabbi Gamliel purposely chooses Shmuel HaKatan, known as Shmuel HaKatan in the Gemara, to compose this bracha. Why Shmuel HaKatan? Because Shmuel HaKatan elsewhere, lived by the principle, bin fol oivecha al tismach. When your enemy falls, don't rejoice. See, Rabbi Gamliel needed a bracha that was going to indicate that there is zero tolerance for these slanderers. Zero tolerance, ultimately, again, for these Jews who work to undermine the interests of our nation, of our people. Zero tolerance. We'll ask God not to have mercy for you. We'll ask God to cut you down. We'll ask God for you to perish in an instant. But who does this bracha have to be created by? Who does this bracha have to be written by? It has to be written by someone whose heart is filled with love. Someone who will not rejoice at the downfall of his enemy, but someone who realizes that sometimes the enemy, even though he's a Jew, must suffer a downfall, but my heart is broken over it. See, I'm sure that there was no shortage of people willing to write this bracha to pray for the destruction of another Jew. Because a lot of times people are angry, filled with venom, filled with hatred, and love to go ahead and daven for the demise of someone else. Rabbi Gamliel needed someone who loved every Jew, but was still willing to write such a bracha. Only a heart filled with love, for every Jew, that is broken over the fact that we need such a bracha, could be the author of such a bracha. And I think it teaches us an incredible lesson. Sometimes in life you have to give mussar. Sometimes you have to give rebuke. And sometimes it's to a friend. Sometimes in a leadership capacity, it's to one's constituents. Sometimes it's to a child. But when you give mussar, when you have to give rebuke, how do you feel inside? Some people love it. Some people can't wait for it. If you love it or you can't wait for it, you're not the right person to give mussar. But if you give mussar with a broken heart, if sometimes when a parent has to rebuke a child because the child did something wrong, but the parent is so tzibrach and the parent is so broken, so sad, that I have to do this to my child. Or if you have to give mussar to another Jew, but at the end of the day, again, you're doing it because you love them and you're heartbroken because you have to do it. That's the way to give mussar. And this, in general, speaks to how we look at other people. You know, Rabbi Dr. Abraham Twersky has a beautiful insight in his book, Positive Parenting. So he writes that when disciplining a child, you never say you're a bad child. There is no child who's bad. There are good children who do bad things. But there's no such thing as bad children. How do you view your fellow Jew? How do you view your child? How do you view your spouse? How do you view your friend? How do you view your co-religionist? How do you view Am Yisrael? And a lot of how you perceive and view Am Yisrael could be seen by when you have to give Musar, when you have to give rebuke. Do you give rebuke with anger? Do you give it with venom, with animosity? Well, that shows that you really have a deep-seated anger and hatred inside of you. Or do you recognize that sometimes rebuke must be given? Sometimes you have to give that Musar. As a parent, as a friend, as a leader, the Musar must be given. But does it come from a broken heart? Does it come from a heart that's filled with love and so sorry that I have to speak to you this way, that I have to give over this information, but I'm giving it to you because I love you. I'm giving it to you because I care about you. When Rabbi Gamliel had to write a bracha condemning the malshinim, condemning the slanderers, he turned to Shmuel HaKatan. He turned to a man whose heart was so filled with love for his fellow Jew. The bracha had to be written. The words had to be said. But it had to come from a heart not filled with anger. But Musar had to come from a heart filled with boundless love for one's fellow Jew. Wishing everyone a wonderful day.